Da 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 To begin our class, we set our mind into take a refuge, Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. As a Vajrayana tradition, also take refuge to Guru, which is who has the knowledge about Buddha Dharma and also a certain experience of a practice, then it's the way to guide our practice. And also especially in Tibetan tradition, very much emphasize the lineage masters. This is due to certain kind of in Tibetan tradition, also other tradition important to take kind of pay respect to the lineage masters, including Zen tradition and other traditions. In Theravada tradition and the Paramita Sutra tradition and also Vajrayana, this Tantra tradition has all respect the teacher lineage masters. And in some sense, in Theravada tradition, they seek, they see lineage master or these as a wise, experienced teacher. And also because when Buddha given ordination towards new monks, they have a rules, which is saying, like in America, people, some stores and the park, they said, first come, first serve. And similarly, when you get the earlier into the monastic life, then you should be, have a, how to say, because of the age and the time you spend more in a monastery, you should have a more experience. So newcomers, arrivals, should some have a pay some respect and take lower seats. This tradition, which is also important in West, I think in old time, 100 years ago, also have a very strict kind of rules from family to church everywhere. Have a certain kind of position and duties very clear. And in Mahayana, sutra teachings also important. The lineage master, these source of inspiration and the guidance, these important. And as a virtuous teacher, and sometimes also said virtuous friends, emphasize these, giving guidance and the clear insights to understand sutra and these teachings. And also especially Zen is very important to have those enlightened fifth instructions to help student. They also have two kind of main traditions. One, is following the different, I think, you say, now we mean two traditions. There are many others, but mainly two, from the beginning to the now, gradual teaching and the sudden enlightenment, this tradition. Gradual teaching is the, like Zazen. You just sit, very famous master from Japan to San Francisco. Suzuki Roshi, I think, and also other tradition, other people, they was always teaching, taught student sitting, just sit. You keep, you practice, and gradually you will understand what is practice. And then other tradition is like a Lin Ji Zong. One is the gradual teaching is Cao Dong Soto Zen. And another one, Sudden Enlightenment. They were giving some questions, and sometimes it's a kind of giving a Gong'an, like giving some stories, and then inspire you and have some insight. And for sometimes they use special, let's say, techniques, even hit student. And or not only hit itself may not make much difference, but short verses exchange, short verbal exchange, giving some questions, throwing something to you. These tradition and other many, these are considered also part of sutra teachings, but actually not much difference from Vajrayana teachings. Vajrayana teachings have a more kind of a organized way to teach. Otherwise, basic main message is same. And then the Vajrayana tradition more emphasized on the teacher and the student, this relationship by seeing this training for the student and teacher both side in pure vision, pure perception. That pure means pure and clarity. Purity means the directly experience of emptiness. And purity is the clarity is that emptiness, insight of emptiness. Clarity is emptiness. Purity is the shy away the afflicted emotion generate with great compassion. If you have a vast compassion, many unnecessary burdens and the wandering thoughts are diminished, go away spontaneously. So those and the clarity and the purity, sometimes you make one words, people say pure vision or pure perception to antidote distorted perception. For these, so master consider as a manifestation of Buddha or directly call these possess three jewels, body are considered as a sangha, speaking words as a dharma, and mind is enlightened mind, that kind of resultant practice. This is not easy, and also may for some people not beneficial, also maybe harmful, because they are struggling to try to be pure perception person, but same time they see a lot of different kind of afflictions and anti kind of emotion rises, and then the imbalance. But if you can challenge your own capabilities, there is many way to do it. So anyway, we take refuge to Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, because this part of teaching is not Vajrayana teachings. If for this following just Tibetan tradition, we take four refuges, Guru, Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. But for this text alone, or for practicing purely just aside of anything, then you don't need to take a refuge to Buddha, the Guru, much. There's not much emphasizing Guru here. This is more Buddha Dharma Sangha. And in its sutra teachings, we just need to know these Guru, including Shantideva and his lineage masters, Chandrakirti, Nagarjuna, these lineage, very strict kind of direct lineage. It's also have to pay respect for these ancient Indian Panditas masters, not only knowledgeable first people, and also very actually realized being. So it's important to kind of memorize remembrance of their kindness and the great example of God for us to practice their lineage. It's all our honor. May all sentient beings enjoy happiness and the causes of happiness. May they be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May they never be separated from the great happiness devoid of suffering. And may they dwell in great equanimity that is free from attachment and aversion. These four aspirations, four immeasurable aspirations, like saying, dwell in great equanimity, free from attachment and aversion. That is saying we should have some insight of shunyata, emptiness. We rest in that non-dual equanimity. Now, our class today is dedication. This whole book is talking about the way of Bodhisattva. So we suppose we practice this book and from mind to action, like two ways. So mind or the aspiration should we have a strong compassion, and deeds or the actual life will take way of the Bodhisattvas, the way to deal with things and take reactions for the interreacted situation. So then we should first have to have this enlightened mind, bodhicitta. We try to raise our nurturing our bodhicitta from maybe some people easy to have that enlightened mind, relative bodhicitta. And ultimate bodhicitta is you have to understand that the emptiness or voidness, void of any kind of attachment, and the real existence, wrong perception, void. And in this enlightened mind or enlightened heart mind, which is kind of seeds is compassion, compassionate mind, and then compassion wish to attain enlightenment for benefit all sentient beings. If one think it capable to love one, to benefit one, then you also from your kind of wish point, you have the capacity to love all sentient beings. Since you can love one, then you should, you just number differences. Just you capable to love, you capable, you have ability to care, or you have a thoughts of benefit others, and bring them to the state of Buddhahood, that is ultimate kind of a happiness, or free from all afflictions, or the qualities is perfected state. Then, of course, from Bodhisattva, there is a, before your enlightenment, before you realize ultimate bodhicitta, you have a relative bodhicitta in your mind. It's aspiration and action. So with this aspiration, it's in the causal level of Bodhisattva. And after you achieved the both relative and the ultimate enlightened mind, the bodhicitta, then you are in the first, the bodhisattva who has attained one or two, three, four, one of the 10 stages of a bodhisattva path, the final, the 11, or it's a Buddhahood, achieving enlightenment of a fully enlightenment. So our basic requirement or practice, bodhisattva practice, if you don't have anything really from your own bottom of heart or your own inner heart, you don't have a wish to benefit others, then there is no way to practice of anything like a Buddhist way of bodhisattva or this. We should, the bodhisattva or Mahayana teachings, the whole teaching of Mahayana or path of Mahayana is motivated by the kind of wish to benefit others, that kind of a mind. This bodhicitta. So, as we said before, so if you have it by just wishing, wish first from wish and then to action, wish to establish all sentient beings to level of perfect Buddhahood, we focusing on this kind of one single path of the aim, and then to do all kind of virtues from your mind, from your verb, the language, words, and also deeds, actions, from body, speech, and mind. And this is just a very simple reason. We have actualized all sentient beings wanted to free from suffering, and they don't want suffering as we don't. And also, all things have the cause and the effect. So there is a suffering, there is a cause of the suffering. There is ignorance, there must be have the kind of antidote of this ignorance is the wisdom. So this, we free from cause and effect of a suffering, it's very important. And then indulge with all the causes and the effect of the happiness. This is a kind of a take a Four Noble Truths, or four, maybe the other many different translations about these, maybe it's Four Noble Truths is commonly used in many practice. So with this motivation, we take bodhisattva vows, and then to aspiration, to from kind of wishy point, we have this aspiration, and the application, you have a this kind of a following this wish, what we should do, action comes. So this is the proper way. And generally, we can say all Mahayana tradition following these both two of the views or tradition of Mahayana. One is from, it's called profound view from Nagarjuna. It's Shantideva also following that path. We already received vow of a bodhisattva vows from the Nagarjuna tradition. And as we, according our kind of ancient lineage, Nyingma, also following this profound view, Nagarjuna's tradition from the aspect of taking bodhisattva vows. And then vast conduct is the Maitreya or Vasubandhu. Their tradition, it's the Asangas. Asangas, Vasubandhu is a brother of Asanga. They both eventually follow into this profound, the vast conduct, the tradition. So take separate vows from aspiration to application. But the Nagarjuna tradition, both aspiration and application in once, they took vow this way. So then they observe the point of discipline concerning what we should adopt and what we should bend. So then this is a kind of the gateway to entry point to bodhisattva path. Then we also have to know the view. As we explained in Buddhist tradition, there are four schools of philosophical tradition. In Mahayana, there are two. One is mind-only school, one is middle way school. So both these view should be in this, at least you have these views, very important. So this is for their basic kind of path, how determine the view, the philosophical attendant approach, mind only school. Assert that these outer objects, every outer phenomenon are not real, and these, some teacher in Tibetan tradition, they said it's very closer to some quantum theories point of view. They have some similarities, we can say. All phenomena are not, but inner mind. And to claim that self-awareness, self-knowing consciousness, devoid of the perception, devoid of a diluted perception. The consciousness void of eighth consciousness. So dualistic perception, which is the seventh, and the others, the eighth consciousness have a very special, special quality. So they take the approach of only that part of the mind is have a certain, we can say, truly exist. Otherwise, the outer phenomenon all reflect by that kind of a. It's like you have a small memories in car. This is just the example. Then you can, from that you can say many movies and the sound and picture and words came from. This is just the material things. Similarly, that the treasure or storage of mind consciousness have this all story, all kind of storages of karmic images and these causes and the conditions, these seeds from that storage of consciousness. And then the middle way approach realize all the phenomenon appear in the manner of dependent origination. These appearances are all in reality emptiness. We are not saying empty, but emptiness is saying there is no, including the mind and the object of the mind have nothing to say truly exist. This is just the mere existence, pure perception, and designation of existence beyond of these eight extremes, as we already said in previous chapters, rising, ceasing, being non-existent, and being permanent, coming, going, being multiple, being single. These are kind of limited, and what way we see things and able to observe in this age. So this is about beyond of these eight extremes of a conceptual elaboration. Through these approaches, middle way school, mind only school, these then on basis of these elaboration, we have a two truth, two level of truth or two level of reality. So then, just realize the completely absence of a person, personal self and phenomenal identity. These, we follow in this path. In Hinman tradition especially, it's mainly we can say we are follower of Madhyamika, the middle way tradition. But there has a very special, unique position about this mind-only school and the middle way school. They are not completely following just one, because from sutra point of view, we realize the middle way is most profound view. But from the teaching of a third view of turning view of Dharma, Buddha nature or Dattanagata Garbha, these teachings include and related teachings about the Vajrayana teachings, including the Nyingma, like a Dzogchen tradition, then that they have a very unique position about how to unify the second turning view of Dharma and third. Second turning view of Dharma emphasize the paramita teachings, mainly about the emptiness, shunyata, very from detail aspect, very, very profound. And then there is a unfinished kind of work from second of turning view of Dharma. That is the talking about the awareness or appearance and the consciousness aspect of appearance and the aspect of emptiness. These two appearance part is elaborate, giving a very detailed kind of tenant count. Then these are very important, but for now we are just to say for studying of this way of Bodhisattva, then we are following the middle way approach or middle way philosophical school. These they have a detailed differences in the middle way, but we don't go their part. Then it's an entering point is to have this compassion towards all sentient beings to reach enlightenment from profound view and vast conduct. and then view of middle way is the completely absence of personal self and phenomenal identity. This is a view. And meditation, we are practicing shamatha and vipassana. That is the stability of meditation and the clear insight, or to know the subtle consciousness, or the realize of emptiness. And to analyze the antidote to habituation of to grasping that things are real and have their real identity, that kind of a emotion and thoughts, that if there is a realness, then there is a real emotion rises. If nothing real, then what basis of a rise any emotion? So the meditation is shamatha and vipassana from sutra teachings also too. And then the conduct, what are we talking about? The vast conduct, we are talking about six profound, the transcendent perfections. That is a six paramita. And six paramita, everyone already learned from this way of bodhisattva. That is the main kind of a teaching about this book, is the generosity, discipline, and patience. So practice each chapter, we got through diligence, meditative concentration, and wisdom. That is a clear seeing, or the vipassana part. First, we shall from easy to difficult. First, for gradual teachings, gradual practitioners, easier part is to do some generosity. And the generosity, of course, they have many, the material generosity and the, what is it called, the dharma kind of a, offering to knowledge, to the spiritual path, that kind of, or free from fear, help others from, free from fear, cultivate attitude of generosity. And this discipline is, of course, from this talking about individual liberation, the pratimoksha, and also bodhisattva vows, reframing from harm, basically, and then to enrich yourself and help sentient beings. These three levels, and patience. His ability not to do, be the so-called perturbed by anything, you from environment and from your physical body and inner kind of imbalance, you always in take a right kind of a position. Sometimes it's about to tolerate others, tolerate environment, tolerate your own mistake to purify that. You are not tolerant your mistake to continue doing that, but it's saying a mistake can be addressed to kind of a change and to purify or to confess these. And anything, something good, although difficult, but to keep, cultivate, and then to do these things. And diligence, the best diligence is to find joy, what in is virtue. If you see virtue as a difficult and not interest, including like you are taking vows, you're seeing that as a kind of a rules, something difficult, and we say not very friendly rules, or you think of those are taken away of your freedom, these thinking in some other ways, you think you will see rules protecting people, these vows or precepts. They are a genuine friend of you, your kind of proper practice. We grow into that path and easily reach and keep safe from all harms from this life and to future lives. Not free, not protecting you, but also protecting others from those thinking and meditation also too. It's not wasting time, but also you are becoming your own kind of master. Otherwise, mind, body, all kind of difficult to deal and not easy to understand. And then you also wisdom through training, through that kind of a right attitude and view and practice, you will see that result of the achievement of wisdom. So it's saying to find the joy in what is virtuous, so positive, wholesome. And then meditative concentration, there is a, with the help of object and without object. Sometimes object is the image of a Buddha Dharma, a Buddha, or some syllable words, anything. Without is just directly kind of experience, single point mind meditation. So it's the main point is not to be distracted. And then the wisdom, hearing wisdom, contemplation wisdom, and the practice and actualize, these are the first you have to train yourself to perfect discrimination of the phenomena, to understand, analyze the phenomenon. And then know all knowable things. These you can differentiate. So object of mind, which is some we more have to break through or penetrate things from appearance and reality. We should know those two truths. Appearance, they have their own kind of a trends or elements, their kind of existence, appearance. And appear or disappear, coming, going, as I said, it's a single or multiple being these different things. And then from that you can clear seeing or profoundly to know that kind of what is the reality of beyond of this, then the ultimate understanding of this the emptiness, wisdom rises. So, as we said this, so this is a bodhisattva's the conduct. And also in that said conduct, including others, some general kind of inner activity for position, especially in teaching, teacher's position or something. But also said that you should be generous, and also language should be pleasant to people, and also you should teach individual according that person's needs and suitable for that person, and you should act conformity with the what he teaches, these are called associate with the others to guide or something. And then the result is for practice, this whole books, these are attain level of Buddhahood eventually, ultimate attainment. So it said Buddha, what is Buddhahood is ultimate attainment in terms of both abandonment and realization. Abandonment of all negativities and afflictions, realize all the qualities and the ability, awaken all these abilities. So then this is called two obscurations can be eliminated. What is eliminated? Abandoning all that has been eliminated. This is called the two obscurations. As we always use these languages, you know, everybody already very familiar with these emotional and cognitive obscurations. So these normally two aspects of these. So then two obscurations combined, then we call the habitual traces or habitual tendencies or something could be have these habitual obscurations. Those are subtle the habituation that is created third. Actually, it belongs to these two obscurations. Cognitive obscuration in gross level we call the cognitive. In subtle level, it's called habitual obscurations. So habitual obscurations are more difficult to eliminate. That is total habitual obscuration is in the bodhisattva level of eighth and then to eliminate. But in first, after achieving first the ground of bodhisattvas, then you already have a very easy kind of a path after attending the first bhumi. Then you have no danger falling back into samsara. Even before that, you have a preliminary kind of practice of the in certain path of wisdom. Then there is no danger to falling in three lower realms. These are already capable to do it. So then I realize everything that must be realized, including the knowledge of all these, of the nature of a wisdom, a nature of wisdom. So then you form from the completion two type of the kaya, dharma kaya, and also called rupa kaya. Dharmakaya, because of understanding of the shunyata, emptiness, then you achieve the dharmakaya, absolute truth of body. Sometimes kaya is the Sanskrit words, but of a true body. body was upon attainment of a Buddhahood, enlightenment, manifest three levels. So Dharmakaya, Sambhogakaya, and Nirmakaya. Sometimes it's called the true body, enjoyment body, and emanation body. Three. The enjoyment body and the emanation body is the form, part of a form. Then true body is emptiness, form and emptiness. The two, if you say two kayas, then it's talking about the true body on the rupakaya, the form body, emptiness and the form. Sometimes we say books they're talking about the rupakaya, then it's called this is a form body that's including the enjoyment body that is in bodhisattvas possessed in pure realms, that kind of body. It's not flesh, blood kind of a body. It's a subtle mind, with a subtle mind and a subtle kind of form. It's a kind of a mere kind of rainbow like existence kind of. Then today's our teaching class is about to dedicate merit, the 10th part. Then we have to understand what is the merit itself. And this dedication, which may see something always to heard, or always we are chanting and doing some dedication towards sentient beings to reach enlightenment, and also dedicate one person or who is kind of in the sick or dying, or he is okay, but we wish he or she continue to be okay, so to dedicate the merit. So, if you say in Chinese words, also there are many phrase differences, in terminology differences. But we genuinely we say merit. It's same as a virtue. If you do virtual things, then what you tend to do, for example, you are farmers, then you have this kind of responsibility and also good motivation to say, oh, I will plant these seeds and work hard, and I know in the fall or certain time you will kind of harvest, you can get kind of what you kind of work for, and you take fruition of that or your work. And then when you in the fall, when you really kind of get many fruitions, then you willing to share, because your own motivation in the beginning is to kind of help your family or friends or relatives or community or country or sentient beings. You have this kind of a wish seeds aspiration part, and then you take the application of practice, and then the end is the kind of how you kind of share that merits, how you kind of spreading that goodness, or what is the joy, and share that virtue and the merits. For these merits, it's the kind of a positive. When we say merit, we say this virtue, to willing to kind of do good for yourself and others, to this is the kind of positive power and benefit for that enjoyment of happiness or peace of others, or to achievement of others. You do something, these kind of a practice. And for these, fundamentally, we should say this merit is connected to the interdependency or understand of the profound view of this power of interdependency with what we learned in the Middle Way school teaching of this way of Bodhisattva, the main emphasizing the dependent origination than its appearance. Every appearance behind is emptiness. Everything, kind of all means this, all phenomenon, outer, inner, do not appear without of any cause, nor are they caused by the causeless and permanent creator, such as self or God or something, time or something. In fact, they rise through the coming together of their own particular cause and the condition. So these are called the interdependency. So we should know each kind of phenomenon has their own characteristics and power. And then they have an inner and an outer cause in the conditions of these interdependencies of these rises and ceases, these comes. Then when we say the merits, we are talking about the two type of merits. And that is, firstly, we should say, it depends on the your mind, the observer or subjective mind, or the when we say, first we raise our bodhicitta, and in the end we do dedication of our merits. These are all talking about the mind. You're taking what kind of aspiration and position you take in your mind. So it's a, we are not only talking about the harvest or fruition there, but we are talking about what attitude you have. So mind itself is very important, the important kind of elements or position here. So in some sense, maybe it can be negative or positive and neutral. So when we say merit, we are talking about the part of positive. If you are in the negative, when you have something you don't want to share, even you see them, these things as a kind of a, become a conflict, you are willing to harm others for that, these, then it's nothing to kind of dedicate. So we say positive is the merit, and also you can say to kind of remove others' suffering and the cause of suffering, bring the cause of happiness and the happiness, that kind of virtues. So that is the merit. So in the merit, as we said, the fundamentally related to your attitude, mind, and also they have a two type of merit. In one merit is just without wisdom, it means without actualizing the emptiness, then there is a kind of a relative merit that is a virtuous, all type of mind, speech, and body. Virtuous kind of activities you engage, that resultant is to able to that fruition is in upper three realms, including get human form or godly form, these. So when you attain some god realm of God, then you also have a free from the war, poverty, sickness, and you have a many kind of a beautiful kind of environment, and including yourself, you're very satisfied kind of form of a body, and then you have a clear kind of a wisdom. You are not confused in relative kind of in God level. Their great ability and their wisdom is very good, clear and clear wisdom, so forth. And then when we say this dedication to the relative cause and the relative these, then this is not bring you to liberation. It's just a kind of a virtual fruition. You're still in samsara, but you are in a higher realm. So enjoying your happiness, these. So these, it's important because, for example, now, today, we are here. Many people are not seeking for enlightenment directly, free from liberation, from suffering, the samsara, but they are trying to just free from suffering. Samsara is not much, for some people, not much insight in that part. But suffering, yes, everybody try to kind of transform their body, speech, and mind, try to avoid of suffering. For, of course, it's some permanent suffering or impermanent change of suffering of change or conditioned suffering. These may not easily identify, but kind of a pain and the suffering of a body and mind directly kind of burden that is everybody can recognize. So for these, our relative kind of merits, able to, there's talking about the karma, two type of karma. One is leading karma, one is fulfilling karma. Leading karma is when you kind of pass away or not pass away. Now you are already have a leading karma because you already in certain period of time, we are in human form. This leading karma of becoming a human being, that is decided before we're born. How this karma take place? Because when this life end, then next life beginning in which kind of form, based on which kind of a strong habitual actions or karma we have. So if we have a certain kind of a behaviors that is more suitable for kind of fighting environment or some are more aggressive kind of a nature, then we may not have this human form again. So in after one person pass away, then the consciousness habituation have many layer, many kind of aspect of karma. But one take a more stronger position or more leading kind of a position, then that kind of drive you to different realms. And then fulfilling karma is coming to kind of a, if you have a leading karma virtuous, then you are in a three virtuous realm. If you have a leading karma is more negative karma, then you have a three lower realms. And then fulfilling realms is kind of, if you have a leading virtuous realm, but is still you have other kind of afflictions are very, still much. So then even you have human form, but bear a lot of kind of, you are born in an unfortunate kind of environment and conflict zone, war zone, or dry or not a very friendly environment or family environment, many things like that. It's related to the fulfillment of karma. And after you're born, educate and doing something, then you're able to do some change, but you have a certain kind of the environment already. So both is virtuous, leading and fulfilling karma is good, then you will be very kind of a pleasant environment, family and all condition of father and mother is good. Your kind of a whole life is more smooth and kind of a happy life. Although even you have a leading karma, but the fulfilling karma is rest, many are still good, you still have something, then it's in a animal realms or other ghost realms, they have a like a kin of ghost or animal. There is a different type of animal. Some are better than the other. Some have a, even treat much better than people, human being. Although their body, these are not very great, kind of a desirable for human being, most of human beings. Maybe for some, they like to be cat or dog. These have some people said. Then both negative, then goes to the bottom of the negative realms, very difficult. So all these are, we said, the merit is kind of a relative merit. Without wisdom of emptiness, then we dedicate merit towards sentient beings. What we are doing is to try to give in or sharing that leading and fulfilling merits of the changing self and others kind of a merit in a positive future. They continue in being kind of virtuous person and practice spirituality, or being a healthy body, have a healthy body, or those things. And the merit of a liberation, then we are talking about we have the understanding of the emptiness, shunyata. Then not only that is kind of closer to the truth, the merits that you kind of dedicating is not for, not only for that virtue or non-virtue, but it's for the wise or foolish. You try to kind of eliminate a foolish and kind of become a wise. So this virtuous action, the which produce liberation from samsara. So these, generally we can say, it's a, when we do dedication, there are many kind of purpose to do, the dedication. It's important, as the same important the intention, what can different intention in the process of any situation, events. In the beginning, in the middle, in the end. So we often say three excellency or three virtuous deeds. That is beginning to middle and end. We should have some kind of a keeping the enlightened mind and the virtuous mind in all the three times. Very important. All of the sadhana practice of aspiration prayer, these also emphasize and always do this important. So early life, middle and end, one day, morning, noon time or a daytime during the time and end of the, before the sleep or dream begins, before dream begin, dream started, maintain duration and then the end, anything, events, if there is a, when we're talking about time, they always have a beginning, middle, and end. So we should keep the virtuous and the wisdom all the time. All of these, when we demarcation of time, then they always involve three elements. So three elements should be kind of a virtuous or excellent kind of a, in attitude and actions. We keep that wisdom and the union of wisdom and the compassion all the time. So we're going to start our 10th chapter. But all the virtues I have now amassed, maybe I'm pronunciation wrong, forgive me, you can, if you don't know, you can take dictionary, and I didn't really prepare so anything. So just read, and then if I don't understand the meaning, because I have a Chinese version, but in English may pronounce wrong or something happens. By composition of this book, which speaks of entry to Bodhisattva way. May every being treated the path or treat the path to Buddhahood. So this is a author, the Shantideva himself, giving this, saying he wrote this part and they're giving this dedication towards. So this book must complete the composition of this book, which speaks, he's directly said, and then after he left, people found in his room, there's a written kind of form of this teaching. So this entry into the Bodhisattva way, so for this, for human, all sentient beings, to engage in entry to the path of a Bodhisattva. And it, sometimes we say, oh, to whom we should to result of a, to tame of a Buddhahood. But here say you should engage entry to the Bodhisattva way of Bodhisattva or Bodhisattva way. So it's saying this is a cause of all Buddha reach, all Buddha in the past, they did kind of practice of bodhicitta, which enlightened mind, achieve enlightened, kind of a fully enlightened, realization of Buddhahood. So Buddha is an enlightened mind, means so that these so-called form causal level, we should practice of way of bodhisattva, then result ultimately it's a Buddhahood. And so how we dedicate, they said you should the different levels. First is said if you don't know much about how to dedicate, and then you say, oh, all Buddha and Bodhisattva, how they did and dedicate their merits, and I will follow them. You don't have a very clear in your mind, but you think this they must be very perfect for others, and you may some people not very good for words and language, but their mind is still very clear. For those who say, "Oh, how Bodhisattva and Buddha did dedicate," and I also follow, they have a very strong faith of towards unshakable kind of faith towards Buddha Dharma, Buddha Bodhisattvas, then it's okay. In that way, or you try to kind of understand, or at least have a mindfulness, and sometimes you not necessarily say many things, but you kind of able to tame your mind and able to kind of aware of your own state of mind, and also keep mind state of mind virtuous state, and then that is give the you give yourself a. Or you can remember a few the stanzas about emptiness, about compassion, then you will just dwell in that part of dedication. And that is state of mind, compassion at the mind. Then this is a kind of another way to do it. And then it said it's another one. It's more profound. It said, "You subject, object, and action, three aspects, all lacking of a intrinsic existence, identity, and kind of a, as this said, the personal self and the phenomenal identity is lacking of the real existence." So you see these virtuous deeds as a dream, as a kind of a, you did many good things, but you have a very calm, normal, and virtuous kind of a attitude still. Keep that kind of a balance and equanimity in your mind. Or otherwise, if some people, if you have a, are grasping towards your own deeds. Then they say, oh, I did this, I did that, oh, that I'm much good, I'm proud of myself, and I saw, and people should admire me, or I should make everybody know how I good, or how this amazing person I am. That kind of grasping is limitation. There is always danger of falling into ignominium, kind of another. You usually grasping towards money and other food or something. Now you are in Dharma, can field of Dharma practice. You grasping in different way, then it's not very good. So it's said maybe sometimes they even become negative. Even it's a positive, but it's a kind of limited positive. Once there is a story, Bodhidharma came from India, and then when he arrived to China, and there is a king, and then Liang Wudi, I think, this is a good person, actually very virtuous person, but he as a king, of course, there is a proud and maybe not very completely suitable Dharma practice. He went to monastery a few times to kind of maintain monkhood, image of monkhood himself. And then, of course, he had to do many things, so he cannot maintain in the monastery. But according to some people said that he created 480 monasteries and also helped many monks, maybe in the tens of thousands of people, different region. And then when Bodhidharma came and said, I did, he said, he may already praised by everybody, so he don't feel kind of that is not normal. And it's normal. So he said, I did this and that, so how much merit, how much merit I have. Then Bodhidharma, Bodhidharma, I think he was saying how that merit, or as we said, to liberation, merit to liberation. He's thinking that way. I think we cannot take a guess of a Bodhidharma's mind, but otherwise, his answer is saying you don't have a merit. That if you say relative merit, they have of course they have a relative merit. So many people benefit from his action. So, for ultimate liberation, kind of a aspect of a merit, may he not achieved because of his kind of a grasping mind of a grasping towards his own deeds. Good kind of virtuous deeds. So it's called not seeing things as a kind of dream like phenomenon. He has a sense of a proud and even this kind of stuck in mind into phenomenon. And then if you say, is that then Bodhidharma and the king didn't have a good conversation and he left. Of course, king is very nice. He didn't harm Bodhidharma. Otherwise, who can say no to king? And then he may end up some jail or something. Also possible. But even he directly, Bodhidharma is a highly realized master, so he didn't care about his kind of a position or anything. So he said, you don't have merit or something like that. But for relative merits, it's of course immense. It's a famous, virtuous king. And then Bodhidharma went to Henan and then spent there 9 years. I think that after some certain time he had the first disciple or something. So for a long period of time, he's alone, remain alone. When we say liberated, quality of liberation, merit of liberation, it's kind of important to take aspect of meditation, wisdom, or inner qualities. If you say, I have a virtuous deeds, if you without of these three elements, subject, object, action, seen as an illusion, and you cultivate or with the emptiness, then it's not kind of a seeds of a liberation, and it's a seeds of a virtuous realm of a virtuous relative seeds. So it's important to take a position of the wisdom aspect. Then with for wisdom, then you take some kind of a vows and precepts or to make that cultivate that wisdom need. Wisdom is not just the understanding one thing in short and then that's it. It's about you analyze, familiarize, and eventually you actualize and realize that you can maintain that state of that, the ultimate state in your mind. You are not kind of shaking and from here to there and wandering everywhere. That is not wisdom. So it's important to when you have an encounter with the outer phenomenon, you still keep your kind of realized mind. You keep your easily, spontaneously able to actualize all kind of a reality. So it doesn't factored by anger or desire or anything. So that is kind of important. For that, it's meditation important. For meditation, take precepts. Have an organized life and self-discipline is very important. For that is the precepts and these are very important. Take vowels. And so the best way to dedicate is combined with in Chinese words, we say sanlun tikong. It's three kind of subject, object, and action. Or lacking of intrinsic existence. It's all understanding of a shunya, point of shunyata. Then you don't have the attachment. You don't create a negative karma. And you are beyond of a kind of anything limitations of yourself. You created by you, that kind of a limitation. As long as they may linger in samsara, may their joy be undiminished. May they taste of unsurpassed beatitude. In constant and unbroken community. Throughout these spheres and the riches of the world in hellish states as many as there are, may beings who abide their taste and the bliss and the peaceful sukhavati. So these are the dedication. First dedication is to abandoning afflictions or these kind of negativities. And then second is to fulfill the virtuous practitioners kind of wish. So in abandoning part, first is talking about all of the six realms. if you say abandoning, we are say three realms, form, desire, form, and formless three realms. So for that, those generalized, generally we dedicate for these three realms, six path, six class of beings. So we are part of desire realm. Then form realm is talking about the heaven kind of God level of realms, in lower God of realms. Then formless is more higher, almost the end of the samsara, kind of these stages of the state of mind. So this, as long as they are linger in samsara, so their joy undiminished. So can then it said, may they taste of unsurpassable beatitude and the constant and unbroken continuity. Then in samsara, especially in the virtuous part of samsara, even in the negative, it was unfortunate samsara of unfortunate beings, they do have a certain kind of a joys. For example, animal is part of unfortunate realm, but we can clearly see in animal, sometimes maybe it's for some animal maybe better than human being. Many human beings suffer a lot. They have a very crazy mind, and then kind of fighting with a very complicated war, and then economic war, and weapons and the loose. But the animal bit more simple. They have war or fighting, but it's mostly not like human beings. Kind of massacre, many things happens. Some animals also that like that, but some spirits, even a hungry ghost may have a joyful life in some higher. As we said, the leading karma is non-negative, but the negative karma, but fulfilling, they have a more positive. So they can be some mountain god or spirit of a lake or tree or something, and then many other people believe them and offering something, smoke and puja, or this happens and in different place. Earth god, mountain god, or these. So sometimes also said in some people learned, even have a virtuous, but unfortunately they went to become a naga or kin of a naga. So it's said they do have a, some people understood as a dragon, some people say it's a snake, but it's not these. They do have a able to learn. If you have, you see anything snake to learning anything, not much. So when we say we're talking about Naga, we shouldn't understand purely kind of a terminology or phrase of the Sanskrit. They have many meanings. Sometimes it's said the sentence. Sometimes we are talking about the snake, but other times we say dragon king or something. We are not talking about the snake. They able to listen and teachings from Buddha. This eight class of non-human kind of class. One of those. So just if you say a snake is animal realm, but these Naga have some between animal realm and the god realms, they have a ability to become some other sentient beings, like he can able to hear in teachings from Buddha, even he can possess and preserve teachings. So these are not snake. So whatever these all sentient beings in different places, so we say all samsara have a different form of a suffering, and also limited kind of a joys. So we wish they become more positive, more virtuous, more kind of joyful. And then it said, because of these, when we say dedication, as we said, it's important about your aspiration mind and also your own accumulation. You say, accumulation of others and past, present and future also dedicate. That's also good. If you say, purifying your own negativities, but you say, not only me, but also I wish you able to purify all purifiable kind of negativities of all of time and place. These also good. So you can say, but mainly you are practicing in kind of a form of I, so-called I, so then you can say, because of this virtue, so all have I wish all sentient beings have a great happiness, like ocean-like happiness. It means unexhaustible. And then eventually, not only the virtuous, relatively kind of a happiness, but to achieve ultimate, so Buddhahood. So that is saying continuation of the bodhisattva's deeds and the continuation of bodhisattva's aspiration and the application of the mind and deeds. So eventually, right, continue to Buddhahood. So generally we say this too, temporary and ultimate happiness. Temporary means this afflicted, although it's temporary, but in samsara, or comparatively, or different kind of level of pain and pleasure. So we should increase the cause of happiness and happiness itself, and the void of suffering and suffering, cause of suffering. Then eventually, cause of the greater bliss and happiness, void of total eliminate of suffering, then it's the path of a bodhisattva, a bodhicitta, teaching the mind of bodhicitta, and then continue towards the ultimate, unsurpassable, unexhaustible kind of ground, that is the Buddhahood. So we may stop here today. We make an aspiration prayers, because each time our practice and the cultivation or the contemplation and the practice take step by step. Each time we have some class, we should kind of deepen in our practice and understanding. Then it's more important than we just flip over the page and then go next kind of topic. So for this week, we going to study this, and then now we read our dedication here. As the courageous Manjushri understood, and just like Srimad Bhadra as well, I now dedicate all this virtue, following their example, one and all. Since dedication has been praised as a supreme by all of the victorious ones throughout three times, all of the fundamental virtues I have are fully dedicated to practicing this plane. By this merit, may all attain omniscience and defeat the enemy wrongdoing. From stormy waves of birth, old age, sickness and death, from the ocean of some existence. May all beings be free. By this virtue, may all beings complete the collections of merit and wisdom, and attain to sacred kayas that rises from merit and wisdom. Through this goodness, may omniscience be attained, and thereby may every enemy, mental defilement be overcome. May beings be liberated from the ocean of samsara, which is troubled by waves of birth, old age, sickness, and death. So we recommend the, when we are kind of receiving the hearing teaching, we should kind of just take a look over the verses, then we shouldn't kind of read other article or books and or searching online these. We should just remain under, open your eyes, or sometimes if your mind wandering too much, you can close your eyes and just deepen in, just listen. It's very good. Otherwise, if you, even you have, we have the same textbook, you, if you continue to read, then you are engaging third party or kind of third kind of dimension. Then you scatter in your mind. You are kind of not in cultivation, but more in searching. So then the meaning, not much left in your imprint in your mind. So sometimes it's when hearing, because of that's why in Tibetan or kind of Buddhist tradition often separate the contemplation and the hearing. But the hearing is very important to kind of combine the previous the giving you whole detail and the whole picture together. So hearing is very important. And then you have a time, then you can base down this kind of a detail and the overall picture you can contemplate later on. The after class, you can kind of review it. And then you have a more personal kind of more involving your own thoughts and elaborate on these. And you have a kind of a suitable for you to this, take some questions and observation these. And then how to take it into the clarification and then contemplation practice. If you are always busy in something, then you're in the beginning it's mass, and in the middle you don't have much kind of points. Sometimes it's a, these are have a, how to say, not related. You have a kind of mixed up with, then you don't have sometimes the, how to say, map of the overall view. So you can, maybe everyone has a different way to understand the way of studying. For some people, maybe it's okay, but generally, it's good to have a proper hearing and then analyzing and the practice. Three parts. May the lives of a glorious master be secure. May all beings enjoy happiness and peace. May we all accumulate merit and wisdom. Because here it's separating the merit and the wisdom. It's like a bodhicitta. Sometimes we say bodhicitta, we are talking about the enlightened mind of a relative. So then we say relative bodhicitta and ultimate bodhicitta. So wisdom and directly kind of emphasize, specially emphasize, then it's a merit and a wisdom. Purifying all negative karma and sweetly reach enlightenment. You have a great weekend.